Proud of You is a parenting advice podcast and support group for dads hosted by two goofy dads. They are not pediatricians, nutritionists, OBGYNs, psychologists, nor are they authorities on parenting. They're just two dinguses trying to figure it all out. Their advice should not be taken as expert information. Parenting looks different for everyone, and there's no wrong way to be a dad. Frankly, if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about it, you're already doing a great job. And these dads are proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome back. I'm Derek Mata.
And I'm Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This week, we are talking about a very special time that Derek and I are both living in that is colloquially known as the Terrible Twos. Derek's daughter just turned two recently, and my daughter is about to turn two. And it's a lot.
It's interesting because, like, you know, they're so sweet, because I know you know you and I have had our conversations about Alana just being this sweet little girl, and I've met her. She really is.
Yeah.
But, like, there's those times that, especially the closer they get to two, that they're just aliens for whatever reason. Somebody lit a fire in their soul and they're just angry.
Well, there's a ton of neural development going on, right, at that age. And so it's really challenging because, you know, obviously, again, we've talked about it before. The negative is always going to be espoused louder than the positive. People talk about how hard things are, especially men talk about how hard things are a lot more than they talk about how good things are. So you're going to hear dads talking about their two-year-olds crying and their two-year-old tantrums and all the hard things a lot more than you're going to hear guys opening up about those sweet, cuddly moments that you also get with that two-year-old. But man, like, it's such a double-edged sword because, you know, Emily and I were just talking today about how Alana, like, we're really starting to see her, like, take some personal initiative and ownership of the house. Like, she'll, like, close doors and, like, turn off lights when she leaves a room and stuff in a way that shows, like, real care and guardianship and, like, some serious maturity for a not quite two-year-old.
That's impressive.
And, like, Emily was in the kitchen, and we had a big laundry basket full of towels because, you know, we have a house with a two-year-old in it, which means there's always laundry that hasn't been folded around. And Alana started helping, and by helping, I mean, like, wrapping a towel around her forearm and then shoving it into a drawer because she doesn't actually know how to fold towels. But, like, no instruction from Emily, no encouragement, nothing, on her own, was just like, oh, we're in the kitchen, I'm going to help mom, and I'm going to help put away these towels because that's the thing that mom does when we're in the kitchen. And, like, that's the sweetest thing. That's the coolest thing, watching her grow into, like, an actual person and have these emotions and these, you know, this level of intimate understanding that she hasn't had previously. But with that comes the overwhelm of having emotions. And she's also taken to, you know, she's been a pretty chill kid her whole life. Like, she has, I'm sure somewhere Emily is rolling her eyes, she has her own set of needs and desires, and most of them are to be close to mom. But, like, when she has a rough time, she can usually talk through it. And, like, Emily and I are big communication people, right? So that makes sense. Like, we've promoted that her entire life. But now she's almost two. And so, like, earlier I wouldn't put on Bluey for her, so she threw herself face down on the ground because reasons.
I'm almost 35 and I'd do it too if you didn't put Bluey.
Yeah. You know, it's like having emotions is overwhelming, right? It's I think, especially as dudes in America, it's easier to be cold, right? It's so easy to be stoic and shut off. And I think that's why so many guys do it. Having emotions is hard. And I think that's something that we have to remember as dads, as our kids are going through this crazy, wild, terrible two phase is like, I've had 32 years to practice being angry, right? She's figuring it out for the first time. So yeah, when she gets mad, she's a little rage machine because she doesn't know how to reel it in. She doesn't have a level switch for that. It's on or off. Like, she's either happy or sad, or like big mad. When she's sad, she's big sad. Like, all of her emotions are just one range.
No, that's Ivy's the same way, but like, I feel like Noah had bigger terrible twos than Ivy is. And I feel like Ivy's is just like frustration dealing with Noah. Because like, Noah's what, 3.5? And like, he had his terrible twos. And then he hit 3. And he found a whole new level of just angry in me. Like, I love the kid, but like, angry in me. And so Ivy's like, what the fuck? So like, I think her frustration is just like having an older brother.
Yeah.
But you know, like you said, and I like how you phrased it, is it's an on or off. Either you're, all the emotions are just big. So like, what was it? It was earlier today. I want to say I wouldn't put water in her little bubbles because, well, she kept pouring the water all over the floor. And it's like, okay, we're done. And like, you would have thought like Noah pushed her into a wall and I kicked her down a flight of stairs. Like, she just crying her eyes out, like, and I was like, what? Like, it is not that big of a deal. It was a vial this big of water, and Daddy broke her heart. she cried and she screamed, and she, I don't know, does Alana throw things?
Not much. Not like in anger. Usually when she throws stuff, it's in excitement, but she has started to, again, this is all pretty new. Like, she's just within the past probably like 3 weeks or so really started having like tantrums. And I think she's thrown a couple things, but it's usually like, if she has a toy and she starts getting frustrated with the toy, she'll like throw that. And then usually herself. Like, she, but she hasn't, are you saying like throwing stuff like at us?
Well, just throwing stuff in general, like at you, at the wall, at the TV, just that kind of thing.
Yeah, we haven't really run into that. Like I said, other than like, if the thing that she has in her hands is what's starting to frustrate her, her immediate reaction right now is just like, get the frustrating thing away, right? And so she throws stuff in that sense.
See, I wish it was that easy, because you've obviously met my two youngest children, and like, if they get frustrated, they will find something and they will throw it faster than I could probably throw it. And they don't care if they hit you, if they hit anything else, like, they're going to throw something and you're going to know they're mad.
Like, yeah, man. A toddler strength is no joke. Like, Alana's probably got a better arm than I do. Like,
yeah. And kid, and toddlers are accurate too. Like, they look at you and they're like, this is going to your face. And you're like, no, it's not. And then it hits you in the face. And you're like, and you want to be mad. And that's the issue, is like, when they're going through these phases, you want to be angry, but like, it's not fair to them, because like you said, they're learning these emotions. They're not like, yes, I will admit, I let the anger get the best of me, and I will raise my voice. And I'm like, you will stop throwing things. You will pick up what you threw. You will apologize, you know, depending on the situation. And then like, you will go sit in the corner. Like, we sit in the corner for, because April read something like, you for, it's 1 minute for every year they are, because they don't have a concept of time. So like, you go in the corner and you sit in the corner. You don't play with toys. You don't look around. You don't watch TV. You sit in the corner. It's not like nose in the corner like this, but
no,
like how I'm sitting. And it's pretty much separating them from the situation, so they have a chance to calm down and then come back. But like, I've had four fucking kids at this point, and like, I don't have an answer on how to handle this.
Yeah, the hardest thing for me, honestly, I mean, like, yeah, I definitely get frustrated too, but the anger really isn't the hard part for me to rein in. The hardest thing for me, and this is going to make me sound like an asshole, but I think a lot of dads can relate. The hardest thing for me is not laughing, right? Because sometimes like Alana will break down over just the dumbest thing. And so like keeping my composure and like I want to validate her feelings, right? Because again, she's experiencing these emotions. She's like, even if it's silly and stupid and funny to me, it's serious to her and it's important. And I want her to make sure, like, I want her to know that her feelings are valid and that her feelings are important. But man, like when your kid is having a like a meltdown, like they just got laid off from their job because you wouldn't put bubble water in their cup, like it's hard not to laugh because it's like, oh man, you have no idea how hard life is. You have no idea like how good you have it with me as a dad and your mom as a like you could have it so much worse, kid.
Like, and I wouldn't say it was out of anger. What was that? I think it was yesterday. We're trying to get the kids back in bed. Or no. Okay, so I don't know if you follow April on TikTok, but she posted a video of Ivy. Like, watch it. Anybody watching this, go find it and watch this video.
I'll
Ivy's
tag
having,
it for you.
yeah, Ivy's having a pillow fight with Noah, and they're like across the bed. And she falls down. We have to go put the rails back up. And so as I'm putting it back up, Ivy is just like, "Hi-yah!" She hits me with the pillow, and like, you're supposed to be like, no, don't, you don't hit. Like, this is not a game. But like, no, April and I, we just started laughing. Like, this little girl, they're, ah, like, you want to be like, but we couldn't because it was just, it was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Too good.
That's always such like because I'm the kind of person, man, like I'm out to have a good time, right? Like I love laughing and playing and joking around with my kid. And so like a lot of the time, especially if she's having a tantrum, like my first inclination is like, you're sad, I'm gonna make you happy by being silly. But like I have a wife. That's not how you react when your wife is sad, right? Like, at least, hey, pro tip, it shouldn't be.
You don't make
like,
silly faces when your wife is
yeah,
sad.
and like, and that's something that I try to consider is like, just because I'm not having these emotions about this thing, right? Like, my wife has really bad anxiety, and I have none. I have some because I'm a dad now and it's a whole nother world of problems to be worried about. But like my whole life, I've just been like, things will work out. Everything's going to be okay. Like at the end of the day, worrying doesn't help you. So like, it was really hard for me. Emily and I have been together for over 10 years now, and it took me probably 6 or 7 of those years to really get good at like validating her emotions when she was worried about something that to me was just like, what are you upset about? What are you freaking out about? Like, you being worried right now isn't gonna make this thing better. So why are you wasting energy on that? And like, that's a shitty person to be. Don't be me. Don't be like being low stress is a good thing, but like recognize that it's a problem for them. And that goes for your kids too. Like, when I worked at Disneyland, I had a manager who told me a thing that has really stuck with me through my professional life, which is when somebody asks you where the bathroom is for the 1,000th time today, remember that it's their first time asking somebody that question, even though it's your 1,000th time hearing it. Because like in and obviously like Disneyland, right? Like the whole job is creating magic and creating a good experience and creating happiness for somebody. If you react and you're like, fuck, it's right there because you've heard that question 1,000 times, that sucks, right? Like you have to be like, oh yeah, it's right over there. Like super upbeat and bubbly about it and happy. And like I try to carry that into my parenting too. Surprise, surprise, Disney dad wants to bring Disneyland energy to his parenting. But like my daughter's going to ask me why a million times today. My daughter is going to ask me to explain how a TV remote works or how milk exists. Like my daughter is going to ask me where the yogurt went after she ate it 3 or 4 times after it's gone. And every time I try to respond with kindness and with love and with compassion, because like she doesn't remember that she's asked that question, right? Like she's not retaining that information. And it's not always easy, right? Like I'm not trying to pretend like I'm a perfect dad and I don't fucking freak out when my kid says why for the 40th time. Like it's tough, especially when you're tired and you've dealt with seven tantrums in the last hour. Like everybody gets there, but like trying to take that approach and be positivity forward and validating those feelings first, right? And then you can explain like, hey, like, man, it really sucks that you're feeling that way. I'm really sorry that you're overwhelmed by this situation. Is there anything that I can do to help out? Okay, cool. Like everything's gonna be okay. It's gonna work out. We're gonna get through this. We're gonna figure it out together. And like, even if it's rough for a while, I'm gonna be here with you. That feels good to hear as a person, and definitely, I think feels good for your kid to hear, knowing that dad is here and dad is going to help you through the tough time. Even if there's nothing I can do except hold your hand while you're upset about a thing, I'm going to be here for you know?
Yeah, like, and I'll admit, like, because Noah does the same thing. Usually, I wear my Black Rifle shirts, like the same ones you saw me wear years ago. I'm still wearing the same damn shirts with a snake on it. It goes, why is a snake like that? And I'm like, how am I gonna explain to a 3-year-old why the snake is like that? But he asks multiple times every single time I wear one of those shirts. I'm like, my kid, like. But like, yeah, you have, well, we all have a tendency to forget that, they're learning the world. They want to know as much as we want to know something new that we don't know. And I think a lot of us, myself included, forget that. Because since we know it, you should know it, so why don't you know it? Kind of thing.
Well, the other side to that is how much are they learning, right? There's this threshold, right, where you're like, I told you this thing, why aren't you remembering it? But how many new things is your kid taking in every single day, right? There's no way that they can remember all of it. They're a dish sponge in front of a fire hydrant, absorbing as much information as they can, but they're gonna forget so much because the whole world is new to them. And so like, yeah, your kid's gonna ask you why the snake is like that on your shirt every time you wear that shirt, until at some point that's the piece of information that sunk in that day, and then they'll ask you something else for the 43rd time, right?
So maybe I should start telling him why the snake is like that.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
I
he
mean,
didn't have his coffee. That's why.
yeah.
My kids know I love my coffee.
Totally. Black Rifle Coffee, if you're listening, sponsor us. Derek and I are both addicted to your product, so sponsoring us will reduce your sales because we won't buy it anymore. You'll give it to us, right? Do it.
That's right. Even though I've got a coffee subscription because I love it so much. But that's neither here nor there.
Don't tell them that.
Oh, no, I don't have any of that. Um,
Okay.
so, so I'm just trying to think, like, so you know the big thing. It starts with terrible twos. And you hear people say, like, oh, they're still in their terrible twos and they're 3, 4, 5 years old. But, like, is there really an age that is accepting? I don't even know how to phrase it. So your kid will always get angry. Anger is just a part of life. Because they want to understand something and they can't.
Yeah.
Like, at what point do we quit saying it's a terrible twos and we just be like, wait, maybe we should figure out what's going on here.
Well, and that's I remember I was in a dad group before Alana was born. The birth center that I went to had like a it was basically AA for dads. It's actually one of the big inspirations for us starting this podcast because it was the first like support group that I felt like was a good resource for me as a dad. I remember talking to one of the guys in the group because he was expecting, but it was his second kid, and I think his firstborn was like six at the time. And we were talking a little bit about terrible twos because one of the other dads in the group had a 2-year-old. And he was like, yeah, terrible twos, this and that. And then one of the other dads was like, yeah, but like I've got a three-nager. And like my three-nager is way worse than the terrible twos. And then this guy was just like, yeah, man, four's worse than that, and five sucks the most. So like, I mean, it's just kids. Like,
Having kids
and
just
what it hit me because like the thing is, like, I'm trying to again lead with kindness, right? Like I'm trying to help Alana find grounding tactics and ways to work, process her emotions, because right now everything is overwhelming to her, right? And so like when she gets mad or when she gets sad, rather than try to like talk her down off of that cliff, I just take some deep breaths with her, right? Because I know that I'm not going to be able to talk through that tantrum. I'm not going to be able, she's not going to hear what I'm saying while she's in that place. So I can show her by example, like, hey, like what do we do when we're upset? We take a couple big deep breaths, right? That helps us calm down. It helps get oxygen to our brain. It can help us process those emotions, right? And so she sees me doing that, and then kids are just little monkey see, monkey do. They'll mirror you. She takes some big breaths and she'll start to calm down, right? And so I'm trying to give her those emotional grounding tactics because, again, I'm 32 and I get fucking pissed off sometimes. I get overwhelmingly upset. I don't have tantrums because I've learned not to throw myself on the ground when I'm upset because it doesn't help anything. I've learned not to punch walls because then I just have another problem. I have to fix drywall and whatever upset me. And so finding those, coping mechanisms, those grounding tactics as a man, as a person, helps me teach her to work through her emotions as well. And I think the more emotionally stable father you are, the more emotionally stable kids you're going to have. And obviously there are a million factors there, right? There's, if your kid is on the autism spectrum, huge shift. If your kid has ADHD or any number of, neuroatypicalities, can completely change what that looks like. But at the end of the day, teaching your kids grounding tactics to help them be emotionally stable is going to help in every situation. To me, that's just, and again, I'm at the start, right? I'm at the terrible twos right now, so I'll let you know what my three nager and my four year old and my horrible five looks like. But like, the hope is that by helping her understand emotional processing rather than just shutting down the tantrums, she won't be a terrible 3-year-old. She'll be able to start learning those processing mechanics, I guess, those grounding techniques better and better, and implementing them for herself. And I never expect her to not get mad or sad or frustrated because, again, I'm 32 and I get all of those emotions. Those aren't bad feelings. They're just emotions. It's part of the human existence.
And like you said, monkey see, monkey do, doing it yourself because they'll see it, because they're going to see, it's not always you being mad at them, you being mad, you have a problem at work and you're like, God, this stupid XYZ. And then like, they're going to see how you react to that and how you calm yourself down. If you go and punch a wall, well, guess what? They're going to be punching walls next time they're angry because, well, dad did it. Like you said earlier, they're little sponges. They're just watching and taking in absolutely everything. And I don't know how to, I mean, I don't, I don't know how to express my emotions and solve them. I just internalize everything. And of course, like, guess what? My kids are going to start learning that too. And then I'm like, why are you like this? Well, because I'm like this. So it always starts with us as parents. Fixing yourself, or just changing some way while your kid is around so that they can see a positive, that positive role model to them, become better versions of you, better versions of us.
Totally. Well, I mean, and that's going to help you in so many ways, right? Learning how to process your emotions and how to handle your emotional state is going to help you be a better role model for them, and they're going to have that better example of what healthy emotional processing looks like. But it's also going to help you process their emotions, right? Because like, it's tough getting screamed at by anybody, but especially the way a toddler screams at you is, it's rough, buddy. Like it's hard. And so like, if I have some good grounding techniques and I can like take those deep breaths and settle myself down and keep myself from getting worked up when she's worked up, then I'm in a better place to de-escalate her, right? Whereas if I don't have that emotional control, then she's upset, she's shouting at me, I'm gonna start getting upset and start, God forbid, shouting back or, whatever. Like being able to just be that guiding force, right? And I think that's what we are as dads, right? We're here to steer the course for our families. We're here to help our wives and our children and our partners get through this crazy mixed up thing called life. And so, you can learn too. You're never too old to learn these tactics. Next time you have a tantrum, I'll do some deep breathing around you and you'll start seeing
You better move in. I don't have tantrums. I'm a grown ass man.
Oh,
Yeah,
you bottle that shit down.
until it all blows up, and then it's super bad. And I'm making a joke out of it, but like it's honestly not a joking thing because our kids really do learn from us, and it's a generational curse thing, which that's a topic for another podcast. We learn, especially boys, we learn from our fathers. And then we're told, grown men don't cry. And then, yeah, then we become, like you said, cold. We become soulless. We become, emotionally unavailable to people. And it starts with us breaking that chain, and then they continue on with that positive down the line there.
Well, and that's, I mean, I'm willing to bet that if you're listening to this podcast, you're choosing to be that cycle breaker, right? Or best case scenario, your dad did that for you, right? That'd be rad. I hope that some of our listeners had an upbringing where they were encouraged to feel emotions as dudes. Must be nice. it's really tough. Breaking that cycle, being the first person to change something is always the most challenging. But you can do it. Like as somebody who is doing it and setting that example for my daughter, it's rough and it's tough. And sometimes I don't want to feel my emotions because it's easier to bottle them up, right? It's easier to push them off, at least in the short term. I mean, it's always worse when those bottled emotions strike back, if you will. But you can work through that. You can figure it out.
And like you said at the very beginning of this podcast, they're learning their emotions. So while they're learning their emotions, they're learning on how to deal with their emotions. So like to bring it back to exactly where we just were, like be that person that helps them solve the problem, make it a problem-solving issue instead of making the problem disappear without an actual solution.
And that's, I see a lot of people that and I get it, right? In the moment, it can be really overwhelming, especially if you're in a grocery store or a restaurant or something and your kid's having a meltdown. A lot of the time you just want it to stop. But like what is that actually teaching your kid, right? What message are you sending by just saying, hey, stop crying? First of all, it teaches them that sadness and anger and frustration are bad emotions. And if Inside Out from Pixar taught me anything, it's that there are no bad emotions.
Yeah, I mean,
Like for real, sadness isn't a bad emotion. It's a part of the human ex experience. Like it's not fun. It's not happy, right? It's the polar opposite of that. But we need to have that. So it's not bad. And what's really bad is bottling up that feeling, right? If you're sad and you don't cry, you don't experience the sadness, you don't feel that sadness, it can really latch onto you and turn into something really nasty and really negative. Whereas if something sad happens and you're sad about it, that's how you should feel, right? And so that's another thing that I'm trying to teach my daughter is like, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be mad. It's not okay to take those feelings out on people around you. And that's what those grounding techniques are for, right? It's okay to be mad. It's not okay to throw stuff at mom. It's okay to be sad. It's not okay to, like, I don't know, lock yourself in a bedroom and whatever. Like, obviously that's an older kid, at least hopefully your two-year-old's not working the door lock.
No, no one will work the door lock. And he's been for a little while, so...
We had the conversation last weekend that there's no possible way to baby proof your home because Noah is too much of a little rogue and can work every baby proofing contraption in the world already.
Yeah, he, I don't know how. Like, he's a damn genius.
Yeah, man. But yeah, like, and so just helping them understand, like, helping them understand those emotions and that just because something doesn't feel happy doesn't mean that it's bad. Just because something isn't making you laugh doesn't mean that it's bad. Those are emotions that we need to have. Those are emotions that are good to have. But we have to understand how to have those emotions healthily. And this goes for us, like, right back to figuring it out. Like, if you're an American man watching this show, I'm sure you understand, like, there's a learning curve to knowing how to have healthy emotions, because you're either happy or you're stoic and that's it. Right. Don't be that guy. Get rid of that. That's bullshit. That's some societal shit that is not good for anybody.
I want to say I show emotion, but like I don't. Like, I'm either happy or stoic. I'm either smiling or I don't want to talk to you.
I see you working on that though. I see you finding your healthy frustrations and your healthy sadness.
I am working on it, but slowly. But slowly, what do they say? Slow and steady wins the race. I hate that phrase a lot, but like it's true. Like, it's better to have move one step forward than to not move at all.
Yeah, if you don't like slow and steady wins the race, what's the anything worth doing is worth doing right? Like, it takes time. You're not just gonna be an emotional master overnight, especially with 30 plus years of being told to bottle it down until the bottle breaks and then find a bigger bottle. Like,
I'm running out of bottles here.
Yeah, man. But I think we're all just trying to be that good example for our kids, right? And it, like, not to go back to it, but it starts at home, right? And have that conversation with your partner too, right? Because it's not always dads. Like, I think more often than not, in the standard family dynamic, mom tends to be with the kids more, which means that mom is dealing with it more, which means that mom is more overwhelmed than you are.
That is factual.
Mom has to be that example too, right? Mom has to deal with those frustrations healthily. And again, because of societal reasons and biological reasons, women tend to be better at this than we are as dads. But like, it, help your partner process their emotions, talk to your partner and be that grounding person for them too, because you're a team and you're raising the kid together. And again, since we started this, we have been talking about having a single dad's episode, which neither of us are. And so we're going to get some guest dads on who know more than we do. But if you're a single dad, man, more power to you, because that's just even more work that you have to do, because you're in those mom shoes, right? You're taking all the frustration. You're taking all the extra grief. You're having to be the example all the time, not just when you're there as a dad. So kudos to my single dads out there. You're doing a great job and we're proud of you.
And if you're a single dad, let us know, because we want to have you on the show. Like, because there's a lot more single dads than society lets on to believe. Like, it's either two people or a single mom. You never hear about the single dad. So we want to put those single dads in the line. Just let us know. Let everybody know your experiences. I'm like, how do you do it? I couldn't even fathom being a single dad, because I've never had to be a single dad. Like, yes, I've been divorced a couple of times, but it's never been just me and my children with no maternal support. So I'm curious, like, just from my own knowledge, I want to know how do you do it? So comment, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment below send us an email, reach us on any social media. You know, we're always available, and then we can get something set up. You know, then remember this whole podcast is, we want it to be ran by you, and just you telling us what to say. So yeah, the sooner we can get, you know, what, two single dads at the same time on the show, so it's like pick both of their brains at the same time, like, we can get that set up, cool, that will be our next episode.
Yeah, totally. So hit us up, like Derek said. Well, our links are always down below. You know where to find us at this point. We'd love to have some single dads on here. So, you know, you mentioned that Noah is kind of past the terrible twos and into his three-nager phase, if you will. what do you see, like, is having a two-year-old and a three-year-old at the same time, do you think that Ivy is helping ground Noah a little bit, or is Ivy seeing Noah's rage and it's just elevating that tantrum level of the household? Or I guess vice versa. Maybe Noah's seeing Ivy's tantrums and regressing back to that terrible two, right?
I would say that. But like, Ivy's just just the sweetest little girl. Like, and I'm not saying that just because she is my daughter, but like, she really.
I've met Ivy. I can confirm she's very sweet.
Yeah, she's just super sweet and wants to be loved and wants to love every, you know, once she gets to know you, wants to love everybody. She has her moments, but I think she brings Noah back down because she sees him crying and she wants to give him things. If he's upset, even if he takes something from her and he has to give it back and it makes him upset, she will now give it back to him even if she wanted it, because she wants to make sure that he is happy, which is weird for a two-year-old to have that mindset, like, hey, my brother is upset, here, have this thing that I just got upset that you took from me.
She's teaching you some kindness there, huh?
She really is, like, man, I'm a terrible person compared to this child. But I think they also do feed off each other's energy, like any two kids of the same age would do. She's like, I'm supposed to be upset about this, so I'm just going to lose my shit right now, because she sees Noah doing it. But like, she isn't that bad.
Yeah. So do you think, and I mean, obviously every kid is different, right? But I will go down the treacherous rabbit hole here. Would you say that having a boy 2 year old was way harder than having a girl 2 year old? Or do you think it's purely just because of who Ivy is?
I think having a boy 2 year old or having a boy toddler is definitely more difficult, because and I don't know if it's true, so I'm speaking what I think to be true, is like, he from the beginning, he looked up to me, like, this is my dad. And well, dad is always like, you do it how I say you do it, you know. If I say jump, you jump, you don't ask how high. And so I think that's part of the reason why now he's just like, I'm just angry all the time. And, you know, being two, or he was two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess you've got experience with your older children too, but I don't know if that's
I want to say that Evelyn was very sweet when she was a child, like, you know, a toddler. Looking back on it, she, you know, she had her, you know, her usual breakdowns, as every kid does, but I don't remember pure anger. But then again, you know, her mother and I separated when I think she was about to turn two. I always get my years mixed up. But that, I'm pretty sure. And then Danica, I never got to experience the twos. Like, I went overseas before then. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good times. We're obviously, and it's a whole conversation, but we're talking about kid number two, and I'm just like, I think we talked about it. I fully we didn't know Alana's sex before she was born. It was a complete surprise. I thought she was going to be a boy. Emily thought she was going to be a boy. I really wanted her to be a boy. Emily really wanted her to be a girl. And I was 100% ready to be a boy dad because I know what dudes are like. I didn't think that I would be a good father to a girl. And then turns out I love being a girl dad. I love my little feral wild child daughter that I have. But like if I obviously you can't, but if I could pick, like I almost want another girl because I've seen the way that boy toddlers are. And I think a lot of it is what you, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Is I think that boys emulate their dads a lot more than girls do. And girls do a little bit, but I think like guys are also more inclined, like I'm more inclined to be sweet around my daughter than I think if I had a son, I would be a little bit more crass and shitty. And like, I'm trying not to be that person, but I probably would.
And I think you nailed it right there for me. Like Ivy, I mean, that's my little girl. Like I will give that girl anything she wants. But yeah.
Yeah, and so it's tough, but like I genuinely I've thought about that especially recently, right? Because like just with what the age gap would be, you know, if we have a 3 or 4 year old at the same time that we have an infant, then we're gonna have like a 2 year old and a 5 year old. And I'm like, well, that's not fully out of that, you know, the emotionally developmental phase where, and I mean, like we just talked about with you learning and growing. You're never fully out of your emotional developmental phase. But like the overwhelming part of it, you know, tends to be between like 2 and 5 to 2 and 6 or so. And so I don't understand how people do like back to back, right? Like you've got a 2 year old and a 3 year old right now, and I don't understand how you and April survive. It's
A
an
lot of
undertaking.
caffeine, that's
Yeah.
how.
Keeps running.
Yeah, like it's one of those things that people do make comments about like, man, so close in age. I'm like, yeah, you see we're aging very quickly suddenly.
Yeah.
But I can see where you're coming from with having a 2 year old and a 5 year old, because the 5 year old's now learning the whole school thing and learning a whole new aspect of life, while the other one is just learning life in general. And you're just like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it gets overwhelming. We'll probably have a whole episode on multiple children and that journey of, you know, to only child or to not. But like life is such a learning journey that I keep trying to remind myself, like, yeah, is it gonna be over like what you just said, right? I'm gonna have a like kindergarten age child who is learning a more like education focused phase of life at the same time that I'm gonna have like a potentially 2 year old or 3 year old like figuring out that phase of life, right? But no matter when I have a second kid, my first kid is still going to be learning something, right? Like even if we wait until Alana's 18, she's still going to be, I'm 32 and I'm still figuring stuff out. Like, you know, she's always going to be learning. She's always going to be growing. So, you know, there's no reason to dread that too much. And again, this goes back to my low anxiety level of everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work itself out. Whenever we have a kid, it's
Now, I would recommend not waiting until Alana's 18 to have your next child.
yeah. Says
Just
Mr.
to
Two, says Mr. 2, 3, 12, 12.
listen. Well, no, okay, you're missing the middle one though.
Hey, still.
But like, yeah, no, I made great choices. I know. Thank you.
I think you do. I think all of your kids are awesome, man. Like, yeah, did you do it traditionally? No, but is there such a thing as a traditional family? Like, no, it's 2024, man. Like, a traditional family is what we make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, thanks so much for spending your time with us this week. We really do appreciate all of you for listening. And like Derek said, if there are any single dads out there, wow, that sounds weird. If there are any single dads who would like to be a part of the podcast, I was about to say, if there are any single dads out there, hit us up. That's a, you know.
It's not that kind of show.
I mean, it could be.
No.
If you are a single dad and you want to educate us on what that life looks like, we would be very grateful to have you as guests on the podcast, because we don't have expertise in that, but I'm sure some of our listeners are facing some of the struggles that you face every day as a single dad. So it's something that is important to us to be able to represent dads who are going through things that Derek and I haven't experienced, right? I would love to have some dads on that have a wider diversity of problems than we do, so that they can help you through the wide diversity of problems that you're having. I would love to have some dads on that have some successes that Derek and I haven't, because again, that's something that our listenership is probably going through. So reach out to us, proudofyoudads@gmail.com, or we're at proudofyoudads on any social media you can find us on. Our link tree to everything, we're on all the social medias, we're on all the podcatchers, we're on everything you can imagine, is right down there. A link to April's TikTok, just in case you want to go check out Derek getting hit in the face with a pillow too, because that's a good
time. That one's not on TikTok. It's the two kids fighting.
There you go.
Pillow fighting and her falling.
Go check it out, Amy. Click that and keep April's TikTok popping off.
There we go. And on an unrelated note, this color behind me, thoughts on this color, because it is not the color you think it is. Goody can attest to that.
Let us know. We're debating a format change, and we might be filming from Derek's home now. Same room, two dads, one house.
As you can tell
by the very dad-like, just surrounded by tools and scraps of wood and random TVs on the floor. Like,
that is a computer monitor. Thank you. But like,
I think if we end up filming in the same room, we need to build like an altar with a TV remote that we just fight over at the end of every episode.
As long as this kind of looks good on camera.
There you go. let us know your thoughts, by the way. You know, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment below. If you're watching this on Spotify, we post the videos on Spotify too. So,
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Man, you should know this. We record this show together.
I thought Spotify was purely audio. Like, I'm sorry.
If you are seeing the color that's behind Derek and not purely listening to this in a podcast, in an audio format, let us know what you think of the color on the wall behind Derek, because it may be the color of our studio.
And then we will tell you what color it's actually in person.
Yeah. I'll post it on the Instagram like a week after this posts, and you'll be shocked, because it is not the baby blue that it looks like behind him right now.
No, next week we'll you gotta wait. So when it's my actual webcam recording this,
there you go.
It could be different.
all ridiculousness that is Derek and I aside, thank you for joining us. I'm Andrew Goody,
and I'm Derek Mata,
and we are proud of you.